Welcome to Mustard Animes. I am Matt.
And I'm Ricardo.
You threw me with that.
Sorry.
And we discuss things in the entertainment industry that capture our interest. Although clearly the past couple of weeks, not a lot has captured our interest.
Work has captured all of my interest, apparently.
Movies, DVDs, TV, video games, and some computer junk. And once again, neither one of us has seen a new movie.
No. I almost did. I was just too tired. I really want to see that, the Michael Clayton. God damn,
yeah.
That sounds good. Got great reviews.
I want to see that as well, but didn't get to it. Probably not going to get to it today.
My dad and uncle went to go see that We Own the Night. They liked it, but it's, you know, my dad liked Going Coconut, so it's hard to gauge.
Is that already out?
Yeah, that's the one that has been sitting on the shelf for a while and has the Joaquin Phoenix, but they liked it. They liked it.
That's just the worst title.
Yeah.
I can't handle that title. It's so... It's like a sports movie title.
I mean, what's funny is it hasn't gotten that bad reviews, but you wonder, why was it so troubled? It's got two pretty prominent stars, you know, Oscar nominated, and the thing just sat around for like a couple of years, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't know that. I mean, to me, it looks good, but it's also, you look at the preview and you're like, oh, okay, well, I just saw the 2-minute version of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, and there are movies where that doesn't matter, and I'm going to see it anyway. But, you know, with that one, it's like, well, I don't know. It seems, if I want, I've got The Departed. That seems like a better movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not huge into seeing it. I just didn't understand why they sat on it. But my dad and uncle liked it. They said there wasn't that many people in the theater, but then they're like you. They're hitting the matinee circuit these days. So.
Well, I'm actually not
no,
even...
Now that they have, you don't have the ability to anymore. But
very difficult for me now. Okay, so let's see. That's it for movies. I get there's some stuff coming out in early November, but I already can't. Oh, I think American Gangster.
Oh, yeah.
Really want to see that.
Yep.
God, is there anything else?
Yeah. The There Will Be Blood.
Oh, There Will Be Blood. Yeah. Yes.
I can't wait. And did you see Wells going on about it? Or he was quoting somebody who went on about it who just thought it was the greatest thing ever and it's awesome and yada, yada, yada.
I saw the first half of that. I didn't click through.
Which was cool because there's been a bit of backlash because the first reports were all on Ain't It Cool News, which is like total fanboy and easy to dismiss and of course their first screening wasn't at any big festival. It was at this, you know, this Austin festival with Ain't It Cool News people. So it sort of smacked as desperation to some people, but now I'm seeing other reviews and people are going, no, this is the real deal. This is incredible. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. And the new different trailer just seems totally incredible. You know, I love that first trailer. It's the best trailer I've ever seen, but the newer one where it's going more into characters and acting and stuff, it's just like, yes, this is going to be awesome.
Well, there was as a movie thing, Bill Donahue, who I didn't know who this guy was. In fact, I watched that South Park with the when they dealt with the child molestation in the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
I think Bill Donahue was in that one.
Yeah,
it could have been another one, and I completely had no idea who this guy was. And then when I was poking around, oh well, he's like the head of the Catholic League, and he was the number one guy against Dogma.
Yeah,
by Kevin Smith, and it's like, oh, that guy.
And it's important to note that the vast majority of at least American Catholics are not in league with the Bill Donahue. He's of that wing that Mel Gibson wing that hates Vatican II, that hates all the reforms, very conservative, and claims to speak for Catholics but really doesn't. But he's a nut job, and he loves to get attention. Especially with movies. He thinks movies are going to are the downfall of us all. So anything that even mildly he disagrees with, he'll be on CNN and MSNBC spouting his crap. So what's he spouting this time?
the new thing is he wants people to, it's against the golden compass.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently it's not actually so much that they're railing against the movie, but the, what they really don't want is the trilogy of books, and because the Golden Compass is based on the first of a trilogy of books called His Dark Materials. They don't want that trilogy of books given to kids as Christmas gifts.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Because apparently one of the plot points, and I'm kind of talking out of my butt here, I don't really know for sure, is that there's this organization that's sort of based on the Catholic Church that's basically taking kids' souls, something like that, which I also apparently is tremendously toned down in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know to what degree, if it's still recognizable or not, but that's sort of why they're not slamming the movie, but they don't want the books, you know, they don't want a Potter-esque rise in popularity of these books. Because I guess that means the kids will grow up Satan worshippers or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And for the last 10 years, we've seen this incredible rise in Satanism.
Harry
Potter.
Well, I happen to know of a house where under the siding there's satanic messages, but
message singular.
Anyway, and to me, and the movie to me looked intricate because it's got Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig and Ava Green.
Oh, yeah.
Which, and I may see it, I may not see it in the theater because there's this, you know, fantasy film plethora going on right now. And, you know, there's a degree to which you're like, okay, what are you doing that's different from this other random fantasy film?
Yeah.
Why do I want to see this one instead of this other one? And apparently this one is supposed to be pretty good. So, okay, fine.
I had no interest in the way they were promoting it, but they weren't really promoting it, it was just hearing stuff. And then I saw the preview with Daniel Craig and others, and I'm going, wow, this seems, it seemed like in the little 2-minute trailer, it seemed like a very complete vision. They're creating this alternate world that appears to be like, I don't know, from about 80, 90 years ago, and where every person has this animal, you know, protector with them, and they had like zeppelins, and I mean the whole thing looked great. I was like, I don't know anything about this movie, but I could easily imagine getting caught up in a world. You know, sometimes you'll make worlds like that and they do such a bad job of it, like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and stuff. And even though they tried and they had a lot of really brilliant people, it just, they failed so completely. And this one here, at least in the preview, looked great. Maybe they'll fail, but it looked great.
Well, right, and I was just, my point was, now that Bill Donahue is speaking out against it, I want to see it that much more.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
Just to, you know, F you, buddy.
Yeah, him, Brent Bozell, all those other, what's that, Jack Thompson idiot, all of these guys, anything that they oppose, as a matter of course, I want to support.
Exactly. So moving on to TV items, I had recorded the premiere episode, the pilot of Reaper.
Oh yeah, so
which
that?
Is on the CW, and it was, the only reason I watched it was because the pilot was directed by Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And they showed the preview, the pilot, at San Diego, but that was one of the things I missed so that I could see Superbad. And it was actually pretty well done.
Yep.
I mean, I say that like I wasn't expecting it to, but Kevin Smith, you know, for the first couple of his movies, was very much lock the camera down and show people talking.
Yeah.
And he's certainly, you know, getting much better at, you know, being a visual director and moving the camera around and doing, you know, and being sort of a more well-rounded director.
Yeah.
And that comes across, you know, it's a CW pilot, so clearly not a lot of money involved.
Yeah.
But it was good enough as a pilot that if I wasn't actively trying to not get involved in new TV, I'd continue to watch it.
Hmm.
So I think you're starting to ask, what's it about? And basically this sort of slacker 20-something, what a surprise Kevin Smith is involved. I think he turns 21 and finds out that his parents sold his soul to the devil, and it's now come due, basically.
Yeah,
so the devil...
Stuff like that happens.
Yeah, so the devil, as Ray Wise, shows up and says, basically, you're going to go around and return escaped evil people to hell.
Nice.
And he says, I don't want to do it. And the guy says, okay, well, if you don't, I'll take your mom's soul, blah, blah, blah. He does the first one, says it's okay, gets his buddy doing it with him. You know, of course, there's a hot chick involved that works at the place, you know, sort of that cross between Home Depot and Target and an auto parts store.
Nice.
They all work there, and, you know, there's the hot chick, and I'm sorry, the hot chick doesn't work at Home Depot anymore. It's just not the case. Anyway, pretty well done. You know, the dialogue was good. There were some Smith flourishes.
Yeah.
You know, the acting was pretty solid, and for a CW show, like I said, pretty well done.
Cool.
And I hope it gets picked up, because that means that Kevin Smith gets points. I don't know how many points are involved in a CW show, but...
Well, if anything sticks around, it's going to be a certain amount, but yeah, it's like CW, it's like, couldn't compare to like an NBC show.
Yeah, and I started listening to Kevin Smith's podcast, which he does with his producer, Kevin Mosier.
Yep.
I've listened to two or three episodes, and it's really interesting. It's basically, it's like Kevin Smith and Mosier discuss a couple of news stories in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so far there's not really anything where that's really compelling. Like, I'd rather hear him talk about Hollywood stuff or his next film or, you know, anecdotal stuff. But what's interesting to me is in the background, it's like Kevin Smith's got, you know, iPod shuffle going on, you know, random music is playing.
Yeah.
But I don't see how do they work the rights out for that? I don't understand that, because you can clearly hear songs in the background, full length songs. They're not discussing the songs, so you can't do it under review. I don't think Kevin Smith has purchased the blanket "I can use any song at any time" rights, because that's fairly expensive.
Yeah.
I would assume that A, he doesn't care, but he and Scott have to know that there are rights issues involved with having music in your thing.
Yeah.
So I just, to me, it's like, well, they clearly are doing it and don't care and assume they're not going to get sued, but it's such a an aberration.
Hmm. Yeah.
Kind of a weird thing to focus on and mention, but that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe it's because it's a bed and it's underneath, or I don't know. That's kind of funny that they're doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. You want to talk about the new South Park season?
Oh.
And I know why you wanted to mention it. We're two episodes in.
Well, they've only had one come out. I haven't seen the other one.
The first episode was Cartman Gets Tourette's,
yeah,
which was pretty funny.
Yep.
And the second one was Stan's dad has a big poo.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, okay.
See,
so,
I'm getting them on iTunes, and the weird thing is they screwed something up on iTunes, and Apple has been trying to make adjustments ever since. Essentially, what they did was they sold a season pass to South Park, like last year, to a bunch of people. And what happened is the way they do South Park is they basically pump out like 7 episodes and then 7 more. And that was all supposed to be season 10. They pumped out 7 episodes and everybody downloaded, and you paid basically $12 for the season pass of South Park. Well, then they announced, well, here's the second part of season 10. Well, coming on Comedy Central. Well, the problem was Apple sort of thought, well, no, we've done the entire season 10. And we didn't realize there's a season 10B. So a bunch of consumers complained, and Apple decided, oh, what the hell? Let's, you know, probably grudgingly, they gave everybody the rest of the season, even though they kind of only paid for half of a season because of the confusion. And the equal confusion was in the national press, they talked about it like it was another season. They gave it
I totally understand what you're saying, but that's how Comedy Central promotes it in their promo.
No, I understand
that.
The
new season is starting.
No, I totally understand that. I'm just saying it's funny that the press totally buys into that. They bought in like they hadn't just done 4 months earlier, a whole bunch of South Park 10th anniversary kind of stuff. It was crazy.
So anyway,
now I have no idea even remembering buying a season pass for this season, but they sent me a little note saying you're going to get your stuff, and they actually screwed up. And by like a day, I couldn't download this product, and they said, well, we fixed it. And then they sent me like a free, $2 for like download some other episode. It was like kind of a neat thing. But anyway, I loved it because for whatever reason, they're finally starting to release them on DV or on iTunes uncensored. And, the Cartman has Tourette's was, wow, it was especially filthy. It was as filthy as
I recall, that wasn't censored in the normal version either.
That's what I was wondering. Is it on TV and is it on late? Because obviously if they put it on after 10, they can release it. And it was funny and it was clever and I really liked it. But I was wondering about that because I know South Park or Comedy Central will play things uncensored after 10 and especially like that after 1, those comedy show. So I didn't know about that. Anyway, I very much enjoyed it. I liked it. I'm glad to see South Park back. It's kind of funny. I loved South Park when it first came on, and for like 5 years, I didn't watch it at all. And then all of a sudden, about three years ago, I started watching again, and it's so brilliant. And I can't remember why I just stopped watching it for all that time, but I'm back. I'm back in the South Park fold.
Okay. So now we, in our somewhat truncated episode, are going to move on to video games.
Mm-hmm.
The Orange Box was out this week. This, of course, as we've discussed in the past, contains Half-Life 2, Episode 1, Episode 2, Team Fortress 2, and Portal.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, release date was Tuesday. I was extremely excited. My wife was doing something after work. I had clearance to play this thing all night. I'm looking forward to it all day at work. Just, yes, I'm really excited to get this thing. And I end up, at the end of the day, I make a cursory call to Best Buy to find, make sure they've got copies, because I didn't think it was going to be a gigantic sellout,
yeah.
But I didn't want them to just have ordered 5 copies for their pre-orders to try and encourage that sort of BS behavior.
Yep.
So I call, and the guy says, well, we've got it, but we're not selling it till tomorrow.
What?
With this attitude, like, you dummy. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, the on sale date's tomorrow. I was like, oh, fine. I don't want to argue with you.
This guy works at Best Buy, and he doesn't realize that it's always Tuesdays?
Well, no. This is what I'm getting to. I checked the websites for GameStop and Electronics Boutique,
yeah.
And they, on their front page, they've got countdowns and announcements that the Orange Box is on sale Wednesday.
Oh, for God's sake.
I go back and I check Xbox.com. They have the release date of Tuesday.
Was it because of the holiday or something? Or
no, this is apparently, and I suddenly remember this being an issue when the first Forza came out. There was a disconnect between the release date and the on-sale date for video games.
Hmm.
Certain games, certain marquee games like Halo 3 come out on Tuesday, and it's available to buy on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Other games, there's sort of confusion. Well, I don't know if it's confusion, but it's not actually on sale until Wednesday. And they use the argument that, well, the release date is sort of the ship date. And I don't know what the justification is, and I don't know why it is. I don't know what the possible gain is for actually selling it on Wednesday. I find that absurd and confusing, but apparently it's commonplace with video games.
Damn.
So I went home and I was super PO'd. I put in Halo 3 and I end up in a bunch of matches in a row where somebody quits off of my team before the match even gets started.
Yeah.
And I was like, God dang it. Now I can't quit because I'll lose points. You know, I'm going to get worked. It's going to be a miserable 10 minutes, and it is. It was a bad day. So then Wednesday, I go and get it on my lunch hour just to ensure there will be no problems.
Yep.
I take it home Wednesday, and I pop it in, and then I'm actually at a conundrum. Which of these essentially 3 games do I want to play?
You made the choice that I think everybody else made from what I can hear listening to other podcasts.
Well, I decided, you know, the Half-Life and the two sequels I've never played, and I was talking with a buddy of mine who has a friend who works at Valve.
Yep.
You know, I sort of asked him, I said, you know, well, how long is this going to take? And I think I even asked you the same question. The sounds like about 20 hours to get through Half-Life 2.
Or more than that. Yeah, 20 to 30 hours.
And I did not want to immediately get launched into that. And Team Fortress 2 is a live-only game, and I didn't know how to play, so I didn't feel like going through my newbie period on that. So I popped in Portal, which, as you say, everyone did. And what a brilliant, brilliant game. It is so well written. It is so well executed. And as you say, everybody loves this thing.
Yeah, they're all saying how funny it is and how clever and
well
written and totally new. Nothing. There's never been something like that before.
Yeah, and essentially it's a puzzle game. It's a first-person puzzle game as you try to figure out how to navigate through these maps using a gun that shoots portals so that, you know, you can step through one and come out the other end to get around an unpassable trench or to get up somewhere or to use your momentum to get up to a platform. It's very, very clever. The only knock against it is that it's only essentially 2 hours of gameplay.
Two to four, there was some of the podcasts, they pointed out that, you know, they're wondering, that may be part of the real great thing. It was so great, and it just left everybody wanting more. And they recognized you didn't buy it alone, so it was part of this other package, so you're not feeling ripped off. So it was like this perfectly realized thing. And, you know, they've had that game floating around for, like, 3 years, 4 years. It was done by basically, I think it was done by programmers as a little hack off the original Half-Life thing, and they've just been sort of sitting on it waiting to release it, and apparently they, you know, I don't know.
Well,
it just looks great.
Very well done. Very well done. Everyone I know that's played it has loved the writing. And one other key thing which I noticed both for, it seems like for all of the games included in the Orange Box, they've done something I have been begging for. The multi-step achievements, they have a counter which keeps track of it. So as you're going through Portal, there's a thing where you can disable all of the security cameras. Well, it tells you how many you've disabled out of the total.
Nothing
or
worse.
Or for Half-Life 2, how many of the little lambda things you've come across.
Nothing worse thing in Crackdown than when... I guess you could keep a counter on it, but there's other ones where, like in Halo, I swear I've gotten 10 headshots. Where am I at? What's going
exactly, on? Exactly. And so tremendous kudos to the Valve team for incorporating that so you know exactly where you are.
So here's my big question. Did they in fact include commentary in the Xbox 360 version?
Not for Half-Life 2. There may be one for the episodes. I haven't gone into
I don't think they ever did one for Half-Life 2, but for the episodes, and was there for Portal and other ones?
There was for Portal.
Okay, then that's all. I'm very happy. Because otherwise, I was going to just say screw it and get it for my PC, because I could get it now, because otherwise I have to wait for my Xbox to come back. But, I don't think they ever did it for Half-Life 2, but they did it for Episode 1 and Episode 2.
Well, since I haven't been into their specific game menus, I actually haven't noticed.
If they did it for 1, like Portal, they're clearly going to do it for others, so I'm happy.
I can double-check the next time I pop it in, because I know that you're interested, so.
I'll tell you, dude, if they have it for Portal, you should consider playing it again with that, because I mean, as a commentary DVD person, I found these types of commentaries infinitely better, because as you go through it, they're explaining why, and they're trying to go, and we figure most people would get this right away, but we were wrong, and it's really, if you're a game designer into that kind of stuff, it's really fascinating. So, kudos Valve Interactive.
Yeah, just very well done. And I think I got through an hour and 45 minutes of Portal, and then I kind of got to a puzzle that I felt a little stuck on.
Yep.
So then I moved over to Half-Life 2, and I played about 15 minutes of it. And I got stuck, basically. It's the first, you get up to this building, and then suddenly the cops are coming. and you have to escape to the roof.
Yep.
And I could not figure out how to do it. It was, you know, probably five or, you know, more than five go rounds of not being able to figure out where I'm supposed to go or what I'm supposed to do. And then simultaneously, I suddenly got sick, basically, borderline nauseous, and I just felt horrible. So I turned the game off and went to bed. But then I popped it back in, and I finally figured out that there's a staircase that you're supposed to go up, but it was so hidden in shadow that I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And it's near another staircase, but the way it's oriented, it's not how you would expect the upstairs to be because it's not right next to the downstairs. It's like 90 degrees and rotated and hidden.
Yeah.
So I was a little cranky that 15 minutes in, I'm already stuck. But ever since then, I've been okay. I'm on like the second level, the canal level. And
yeah, and let me tell you, you got a long way to go.
Yeah.
It's a great, but I'll tell you, like I've said, that is, and it'll be interesting for me to play through it again because it, in my brain, it is the greatest game of all time, and I enjoyed it far and away more than any other game ever. But I'm wondering how it's going to hold up now. A lot of the innovations, a lot of the other stuff, it has been incorporated into other things. That the gravity gun. Oh, I mean, there's a couple things in that game when they came into being. You go, oh my God, this is so awesome. And you've been playing for so long, and then they introduce something and it's like, oh God, and I'm not going to give any of it away, but it's like so awesome. But nowadays a lot of this stuff has been incorporated in other games, so it's not quite as cool, but you forget how a weapon could be just make you just giggle. And that's what that game did, but it's sort of now I'm wondering how anachronistic it is, but anyway, I'm looking forward to playing it again.
It's clearly fun. I am enjoying it. The graphics are not tremendous, but you know, it's I guess 3 or 4 years old, so that's fine. I'm not.
Well, no, they totally redid it. It's supposed to be as good as you're going to. They use their Source engine, but it's supposed to be. They tweaked it up now. On the PC,
it looks okay. It doesn't look bad, but like to me, Halo 3 looks better.
Really?
I don't know. I think mainly it's sort of the backgrounds end up being very grainy.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I don't want to critique it because it's still a great game. It's still fun. But it's not, to my mind, a graphical powerhouse like Gears of War.
Well, when it first came out for the PC, it was the standard bearer. And it was one of those ones it could downgrade well, but if you had a really great system, I mean, they sold it with those great systems. And they even released a kind of one-off thing called the Half-Life 2 The Lost Coast, which was a level that you could only play if you had the very fastest processors. They did it just to kind of show how great it was. But I think here they're just, I don't know, they probably just were dealing with the confines of the Xbox 360 because that the video card in the Xbox 360 is like it's basically like a mid-range video card from a PC of about 3 years ago. So there's only so much you can get out of it, but.
Well, I'd be curious when you finally, if you do end up getting a 360 version, for your opinion on the graphics versus what you experienced.
I haven't heard any great stories that it's all that great, so I imagine you're probably right on the money there. So, still looking forward to trying, even though I'm not into the team playing, definitely looking forward to trying Team Fortress. It just seems fun.
Yeah, and the only, it's irritating that the only thing you can do is immediately launch into live.
Yeah.
I figure that there should be there needs to be a function of your, how do you learn?
Yeah.
You know, without going, you know, you're just going to feel like a total idiot for a couple of games, you know, but you feel like you're letting your team down as you're learning. So,
I always remember the very first time I ever tried, and it turned me off totally. I tried Counter-Strike. And Counter-Strike is a mod of Half-Life, and it's definitely, before any of these other things, the most popular in history of all these kind of games, at least on the PC, before Halo or anything else came out. It was all Counter-Strike. And I remember launching into that and immediately getting shot, killed. I couldn't even get up, and I would be shot by some sniper. There was no, you know, there was no leveling, no balancing. It was so. And after 15 minutes, I gave up and did not play any multiplayer for like the next 3 years because it was just awful. And it was like, like you're saying, it's like, can't you teach me how to do this a little bit so I'm not thrown in there like a newbie on D-Day, you know, or in Vietnam? It was awful. I hated it.
Maybe there's some function I'm not aware of because I haven't even started it yet. But I went into the menu and I was kind of like, oh. So maybe there's something after you actually get a match started that lets you do something like that. But yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, it's wow. I mean, there's clearly so much with this one disc to do. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording about Assassin's Creed, and that's out. That's out in basically a month from now, and yeah. Mass Effect is out in a week and a half. Well, let's see, 2 weeks.
You know, I don't know. I read a review. I read a little preview of Mass Effect. It's actually a review of it in Game Informer. And they give it this hugely great review, like 9.75 or 9.5 or something. But actually, the more I read about it, the more I realized, I don't know, maybe I'm not into this because it's a more complicated game than I was actually realizing what it is. It's sort of like a melding of first-person shooter and like a strategy game. And then I
started, it's a role-playing game.
No, I know. And I started to think, I don't know. I don't know if I really want that. I don't know. I guess I'll probably get it. I mean, it's getting great reviews, but I'm sort of, I don't know, for whatever reason, even though the review is great, it went into such detail about how it operates that it seemed less intriguing to me than I originally had thought.
Interesting. Well, to me, I'll probably get it, mainly because my buddy can get it for half price at the MS store.
Yeah.
But it's not, because it sounds like it'll take a while, and clearly Orange Box is going to take me a while.
Yeah.
You know, how many, if you don't have time to play all these games, you don't need them all at once, unless you've got ADD or the ability to really crank through them, which I don't. So, we'll see. I plan on getting it, but I may not, or it may take a long time to get through it. You know, and then Assassin's Creed, which looks really innovative and very interesting.
Well, it's been getting all this. Every time you turn around, somebody you're getting these weird signals from it. They'll release a video, and then there'll be some clipping issue, and everybody highlights this. And lately, everybody's been talking about the combat system doesn't feel good or fluid, and they better fix this. I can't remember which magazine it was. Maybe it was one of the gaming magazines, and they were talking about upcoming games that they're all excited about, and then they listed that one as the one they're most worried about. But it just from a look perspective, damn, it looks incredible. And the interactions of a lot of the characters, it just looks really incredible. Of course, we're seeing carefully seen snippets of scenes, but the it just looks incredible. And of course,
I agree.
The lead, what's her name? The producer of it is so smoking hot. What is her name? Jade Raymond. So you'll see her interviewed talking about her game, and you get sort of sucked in. Well, A, if she's this hot and producing a game, the game's got to be good. You know, you sort of start giving yourself this logic. But it looks just like my kind of game. I mean, it looks like a really immersive thing. And what's really interesting is, and they're not really talking about much, and I don't know if Bill Donahue or anybody else is going to pull into this. It's not accurate, but it's a pretty realistic take into this time frame. And essentially, you're playing members of the original Hashashin assassins, and you're basically going around killing crusaders. You're basically essentially taking the side of a Muslim warrior killing. I think it's that, and killing Christian crusaders that are taking over the Middle East, and I'm thinking that's a heck of a take. If they'd gone the other direction, boy, you would have heard about it a lot on the, and probably rightfully so, on a lot of the blogs about how it's more Christians, you know, just trying to re-fight the Crusades. But this here is clearly the opposite tact, and nobody's really talking about it. They're just talking about this as the plot point or whatever. And it makes sense. I'm just thinking the more realistic it gets, the more people are going to see very clear parallels to today.
I haven't seen that brought up anywhere, so.
I haven't either. That's what I was, when I was hearing her talk about, well, who you are and what you are. I mean, they've picked a very, very specific year they've picked that it takes place in. They've picked it's like 1098 or something. They've picked very specific people, and all these people that are killed, every single one of them died during that year. Although they, like they pointed out, we don't necessarily know that they died from assassins. I mean, it's really based very clearly on real people. But I don't know. It just looks great. Can't wait. Hopefully it won't be some horrible button mashing combat system, and they figure that out well. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to get my Xbox back first off.
Well, before we move on from Mass Effect, we should point out that its creator, BioWare, was just bought by EA.
Yeah. BioWare and what's the other one?
I don't remember what the other studio was, but
you know what's funny about that is you look at that and you can start seeing the whole Bungie, why Bungie was ticked off. Because Bungie basically was bought in retrospect at fire sale prices. It was like $20-30 million, and like literally like 2 years later they bought Rare for $750 million.
Well, then that's Bungie's fault for lowballing.
Oh, I'm not disputing that. And this was a time when this was an unproven kind of market, so they were getting probably realistically, and then later it became apparent this kind of valuation, this potential valuation of these things and others. I'm not saying it's not Bungie's fault. I'm just saying that that you look at the numbers that get thrown out now and you realize why Bungie, to a certain extent, because they signed on to Microsoft, and part of the deal is, okay, we're going to get all of these stock options. And, of course, the stock hasn't moved a muscle in 5 years, so they ended up being worthless. So essentially, they just became worker drones. And looking at this, you can kind of see how depressing that would be. Because how much was this deal for BioWare? It's like
I don't remember.
Like $1 billion or some crazy amount.
Well, the issue with that is that the IP goes with BioWare, not Microsoft. So they were banking on that. I mean, they're putting a lot of advertising behind it. They were hoping it would be their exclusive trilogy.
Yeah.
And now the exclusivity for the parts 2 and 3 is up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and EA definitely likes Sony. So,
which
what does EA not own these days? I mean, what an enormous company! Who is
and
EA
it's
own?
Funny because they're based in the city I grew up in, Redwood City, California.
Are they
are they
owned by anybody else, or they've just become?
I think they're their own deal, but I don't know if there's a holding company or if they're part of another. I think they're their own deal.
Hmm.
Anyway, what else do I have on our impromptu list here? You wanted to talk about Juiced.
Oh God, that is the worst program ever.
Funny. I have not heard that from anybody else.
It makes no sense. You open it up, and first of all, they've decided to create a totally different motif for how this thing works. So they have, so nothing is standard. You look at little buttons and other stuff, you can't figure out what the hell they're doing. Like I want to see CSI. So just figuring out, and I know that they show them on there. So it's like, okay, there's 15 million different ways to find the thing. So you can either go to the CBS channel, maybe, or they have the CSI channel. Well, finding that, then am I adding this to my favorites channel? Am I just doing it here? I can't tell. What is the new CSI episode? Because they have a couple full episodes, and then they have some... And then you have to look close. Oh, this is a 1 minute, so this must be a recap. There's no way to tell what's new, what's old. And there's not much new content other than this CSI stuff. A lot of it's other random, weird, dirt cheap documentaries or occasional movies. But, you know, it's the capability of building out. But I cannot figure out what's new, and I can't figure out, you know, the technology. Now, in beta, it would every once in a while crash, and then you'd literally have to reinstall it and delete this cache. You had to go through the forums. Nobody's ever explaining. You found through the forums that people through trial and error had figured out how to do it. And they maybe seem to have figured those out, but just utilizing it, the interface is just, in an attempt to be incredibly cool and good, I just find it to be a mess. That said, it pumps out shows at a reasonable quality for free, throws in, ads, you know, not an oppressive number of them. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but it's more maddening when you use it. I mean, you should download it and see what you think, because it can be maddening just figuring out what the hell you're supposed to be doing here. I think they think they've come up with this motif and convinced everybody else that it's the greatest thing, but I, as a tech-savvy person, think it's a mess.
Okay. I don't think I'll run it on my current computer, but I'm getting...
Does it work on... do they have a Mac version of it?
I can't remember. They haven't talked about it on the Twit or Twim podcast in a while, so...
Yeah. Did you see the new Office?
Nope. Oh. It's on the system.
Oh, it's
funny. Oh, my God. We were watching something, and... We saw that Dish Network was doing a free HBO Cinemax preview this weekend, so we scrolled through the available movies, and now we've got like 6 or 7 movies that are recording this weekend that we have to find time to watch.
Well,
an embarrassment of riches.
Well, the new Office is, it's another hour episode, and I'm not going to give anything away other than something at the very beginning, which is funny. Michael is having he's having like a team meeting with all of his guys, and in the background there's like a TV playing, and it's got like the, you know, the screensaver from the DVD player, and he's talking, and every once in a while he'd say something like, "We're gonna do this," and then the guys in the audience go, "Oh yeah," and he thinks they're really excited for him, and then they cut to the interviews, and apparently during all of his meetings, they're completely transfixed by the screensaver, because it's got one of those, it's that DVD screensaver where it's got the bouncing brick that says DVD that bounces into the various corners, and they're transfixed for the single time when it's going to bounce perfectly into a corner and bounce back. And they're talking, she claims she saw it, but we don't believe it. And then at one point, it does it. And poor Michael, he can't believe how excited they are over paper orders.
That's pretty funny.
And it's one of those points where everybody, you know, you, I, everybody at some point has been transfixed by that bouncing brick, and it never occurred to us that it's something that's going to end up in an Office episode. Very funny.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's a great show. The first week was pretty good. Or no, it was great. 30 Rock was pretty good the first week, getting great. It was funny, I saw a review, I was looking and reading, I think it was TV Guide or something, and I was looking at their reviews from the beginning of last season, and of course they were doing a review of 30 Rock and contrasting it with Studio 60, and it was all high praise of Studio 60, how great it is, and how awful 30 Rock is, and how they just don't get it, and this and that. It's so funny, because pretty quickly, the conventional wisdom turned completely around, and of course, 30 Rock wins the Emmy for best comedy. But and I looked at that first episode of 30 Rock, and it's hilarious. I think, I don't know what this person was thinking, but clearly they were heavily influenced by the conventional wisdom at the time. It's amazing when you watch a first show, you either fail to see the faults or the charms. You need to, you know, stick with it for 4 or 5 episodes. Anyway.
Well, that's really about it, other than I'm 2 or 3 weeks away from hopefully a new laptop.
That'll be exciting.
Oh, man. And it's
in the announcement, so it's all, they're all waiting for the new, what is it, Tiger, or what's the
Leopard.
New one? Leopard, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, because my existing laptop, part of the structure on the right side where you'd put your wrist is now, you can sort of push it down below the border.
Yeah.
So, oh, man.
Oh, wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, there's a border, and then there's like the aluminum bit that includes the keyboard and the trackpad.
Yep.
And the aluminum bit, you can push the corner down.
Oh. So it's falling apart, basically.
Well, I wouldn't be that dramatic, but yeah.
Mine's totally. I've told you that there's virtually nothing left on my laptop from when I first got it. Thank God for Dell and their full maintenance agreement for 3 years.
They had no idea what they were up against.
Oh, they're
idiots. Richard Huffman
and
laptop torture.
And I've got about 2 more months on this thing, so I'm systematically figuring out all the things that I need to get replaced.
And breaking them.
Well, I've broken them. There's nothing illegitimate about this. I broke the little tabs and what else? But yeah, there's literally, they replaced the motherboard, they replaced the The only thing that hasn't been replaced on this thing, I'm looking at it, is the very bottom part of the case, because they replaced the top part, and the, let's see, bottom part of the case and the hard drive. Everything else in this computer is new. Although, actually, I imagine they flipped out the microprocessor, so they probably put that in. But everything else, this thing, I've had like four keyboards in this thing. I've had, they replaced the screen, and that screen, definitely the most expensive part of this, because I have this incredibly high resolution screen. It's like 1920 by whatever. And that screen, even today, was probably like a $2,000 kind of ridiculous thing. So I love Dell. Everybody bitches about Dell customer service. I have the best experiences with their, you know, tech support, even though I'm talking to somebody in India, and they never balk. You just got to learn their language. You got to understand how to describe what happened as not being something that you've done for the thing.
God, that actually reminds me of one thing that really horks me off, and it's true of like customer support in almost any situation.
Yeah.
It's like trying to commit, look, I know you have to go through your decision tree, but trust me, just elevate me to level 2. I've done all of the steps you're already going to say. Just get me there. And it's frustrating that you have to spend 15 minutes. Okay, try this. Yeah, that didn't work. Okay, do this next. Yeah, that didn't work. But what's really infuriating is the Xbox support line.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not just them, but you call and you get, hey, I'm Max, the automated assistant.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Whenever I hit those things, I immediately start saying the words operator, 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 because I figure that's always going to be the last thing, and maybe I'll get lucky. But yeah, oh, I hated that because it's so faux friendly. Okay, that didn't work. Oh, that's too bad. Well, let's try this. And it's like I want to reach through the electronic diodes and throttle the thing.
I end up screaming swear words at it. And it's,
I didn't understand that. Did you say frack? No. It's a different word, and it has an F and a K in it.
It is absolutely horrible. You know, and I somewhat mind the voice recognition system.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's, you're right, the faux enthusiastic, I'm hip. Oh my God, it infuriates me faster than almost anything else.
Yeah.
I'm already pissed because I'm calling customer support, and now I'm five times as pissed as I was 30 seconds ago.
That said, it was nice, you know, finally we did talk to somebody at Microsoft. It was somebody in America getting paid, which was nice.
Yeah, I had to, last week on my way home from work, I called them because when I got mine back from the Red Ring thing, I got the 1 month live card.
Yeah.
And so I had input that to extend, I had input the code from that, and I got an email that said, oh, well, we've also redone your subscription for a year on your credit card.
Nice.
Which I emphatically did not want to do.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. So I called them and said, I got a confirmation email that you're charging my credit card for $50 for another year, and I don't want that to happen yet because I can get my buddy at the MS store to get me a card for free.
Yep.
Or not free, but for like $10 or $15 off.
Yep.
And I'd much rather not pay $10 or $15 if I don't have to. Anyway, so I ended up calling. I clearly got somebody with no accent whatsoever, so I don't want to say they were definitively in America or an American, but if I can't tell the difference, then to me that's fine.
Yeah,
I don't care. You know, if they're sitting in Hyderabad and I can't tell that they're not in Indiana or whatever.
I don't really mind in general because I've had good experiences and it's a global economy. I just do like the thought that Americans are being put to work, even though I know we're paying more money for them.
Yeah,
Indians. I just like totally like that idea. So
exactly, I totally agree. Anyway,
so I think I told you I had to go to Microsoft this past Friday for this nonprofit.
Oh yeah, you told me that was happening.
Okay, so I'm over there, and it was great. It was like for some, I think like the SQL group or something, and it was like this nonprofit thing, and they had like 30 groups out there. They put together like in a week, but they did a good job. So we're out there, but I'll tell you, I was like realizing, man, I'm not at my little nonprofit anymore, because as I realized, all the staffers were coming around, and to encourage them to come down there, they had like catered it. So there's tons of food. And as people walk around talking to me, I realize, is that a beer in your hand? And they're all holding beer and drinking beer. And I'm thinking, damn, this is a, this is cool. They're getting their own staff drunk as while they go talk to the lowly nonprofit people. So I don't know if that's a common occurrence there, but I was like stunned. There was literally they probably bought 500 bottles of premium import and domestic beer in addition to all the food, and they also had pop, but more people were drinking beer than pop, and it was not like the day was over. The day had more hours to go, so
I have no idea what's common practice there. My friends that I know there don't constantly call up and brag about being drunk or drinking, so.
I was stunned. I'm going, damn, this, well, maybe it was, or apparently they have like this once a month kind of thing at the end of the month, and they decided this month we're going to have the nonprofit thing there. So I think they do cater it and put other stuff in there, but it was just, I just remember looking and going, that's not pop, that's Corona. So it was pretty cool. But a lot of nice people out there. I was stunned by the fact that most, you know, usually you set up and you're talking about the kitty cats, and of course it's like a parade of women telling you about how wonderful they love their cats or anything. And I was surprised the vast majority, it was probably about 60% guys, 40% women working there, but the vast majority of people that came to talk to me were guys that like cats, and the women were a lot more, you know, not as totally intrigued. It's sort of, I guess when you become a developer, the stereotypes get thrown on their head, because there was a lot of guys out there, but the women just seem more, I could care less about animal types. Still, it was fun. Right. A lot of good people. Hopefully we'll get some good donations out of it. Anyway, I have nothing else to talk about.
I think we've run this one into the ground.
Is there any, what movies are coming out next week? Or I guess I still have to see Michael Clayton.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, you know, my thought is, when we have nothing to talk about, we could talk about older stuff, like what was your favorite type of this movie, or let's talk about some older movie, but I'm hungry.
Yeah, I am too. Holy, I'm going to go to the dump today. I don't know if I told you, you know how my grass was growing forever and ever? Well,
yes.
We finally got it cut down like 3 weeks ago. Not me, my dad's.
You told me that.
So I get this letter in the mail a couple days ago from Mount Lake Terrace telling me, in this really nice but threatening way, that I'm violating the county or the city beautification code. And I was like, what? I cut all this down. And I look at the letter, and the letter was mailed on Thursday, but it was dated August like 24th. So they wrote a letter like almost 2 months ago, hung on to it for 2 months, and then sent it to me to tell me I'm violating the code when I actually cut it down like a month ago. So I'm not sure how to respond to that thing, because they tell you have to fix it, let them know that you fixed it since then. And I'm thinking, I don't know how to deal with this, but anyway.
I'm sure you'll find a way.
Such is my life. Well, I guess we can wrap up here, dude.
All right. You guys rock at mustardamaze.com should you wish to contact us and tell us that we rock. But even if you tell us that we suck, you've already sent it to You Guys Rock. So that's, we already know that we rock. You're already reinforcing that we rock.
Absolutely.
So it's a catch 22 for you. That's it. I'm Matt.
I'm Richard.
Thanks for listening.
A bientôt.